You're listening to Illinois Edition. Coming up, it's a conversation with Sean Burns. He's the organizer for the Bedrock 66 live concert series. This weekend kicks off the first festival for the event, which features Americana and roots music, and Burns interviewed one of the musicians who will be performing.
The Bedrock 66 Live Music Festival will be held this Friday and Saturday in downtown Springfield. The music festival is being held in conjunction with downtown Springfield's Downtown Bacon Throwdown 2. Vendors will be serving bacon-themed treats from 5 p.m. Friday through midnight on Saturday. Music on the main stage will begin at 6 p.m. on Friday evening and at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Friday night will feature the Motel Mirrors from Memphis, Tennessee, and East Nashville's Aaron Lee Tasjan. Saturday night's headliner will be New West recording artist Nikki Lane. The full music lineup and event information can be found at downtownspringfield.org or bedrock66.com. Friday night's headliner Aaron Lee Tasjan joined us by phone from his East Nashville home, where he talked with us about his stint as a guitar player for the legendary New York Dolls, his musical influences, and his solo LP, In the Blazes.
The town that I grew up in Ohio is called New Albany, which is near Ohio State, about a half an hour away. So I could go down there and hear whoever was coming through town, you know, and I tended to, you know, like the guys that were a little more adventurous kind of with each album, you know, Beck and Wilco and bands like that, Richard Swift, Elliot Smith. Anybody that was going to put out an album, and, you know, the first thought of my mind was like, man, what are they going to sound like now? I got really interested in that from a production standpoint and stuff. My influences are kind of all over the place, but really at the heart of it, like, I'm a rock and roll dude who loves songwriters.
Got a sweet tooth for knocking out teeth, but that's just how I feel today. Tomorrow never knows who I might be. It might be best to just stay out of my way. Don't know a thing about the dirty projector. She could have told me if I hadn't left it. Guess I forgot to buy my boat shoes. Well, I've been busy kicking ass with smoking dope too. And this love is the dangerous kind. Wrecks the body and destroys the mind. Become cheaper than a six-string.
When I moved to New York, you know, it was just after the Strokes, all that kind of stuff had been happening. And there was this kind of stagnant, there was no defining thing happening, really, you know. Like, you know, the gay club scene, like, had the huge electro thing going on. And I kind of fell in with those dudes, honestly. Like, my friends that I moved to New York were all gay dudes, and they were all into that scene, and particularly Justin Tranter, who was like kind of my best friend, he was really into the drag. We came up with the idea of we should have like a trashy kind of garage band version of like T-Rex meets AC/DC, and he would be the front guy of it, and he would, you know, sort of bring the nightlife culture of like the drag queen thing like to the stage of rock and roll, and like that would be his kind of frontman persona. And so we started this band called Semi-Precious Weapon. I've been reading a lot about this guy named BP Fallon. He managed Johnny Thunders. So I thought if anyone would understand what we're trying to do in this day and age, it would be this guy, because he's actually worked with a New York Doll before. And we charmed him, and we got him to DJ one of the shows that we were playing, and he became our manager. First thing that he did, he showed up to our very next gig, and with him he had Sylvain Sylvain from the New York Dolls, and Steve Conti from the Dolls, who was playing the Johnny Thunder stuff at the time, and Tony Visconti, who produced Diamond Dogs, who produced Electric Warrior, tons of amazing records, ended up signing to Razor and Tie. But once we signed to Razor and Tie, as far as I could see it, the writing was sort of on the wall a little bit for the band. I felt very strongly the guy who signed us did not really understand what the band was. He thought we were some sort of kitschy, funny thing that maybe was going to be like a novelty hit for him, and then he could sort of like cash in on that and move on to, you know, in my ideal world, our singer was going to be the hero for every kid in school that grew up in a small town like I did, that might be afraid to come out or, you know, or what, or just didn't have, basically just didn't have anybody to talk to about whatever problems they were dealing with that might be related to like their sexuality or whatever. So I quit the band at that point. I quit Semi Precious Weapons. They ended up getting signed by Lady Gaga and went on tour with her. So of course, everyone in my life was like, how could you make such a tremendous mistake? I was thinking I dodged a bullet, how I ended up playing in the New York Dolls. That night that Sylvain and Steve saw me play the Semi Precious Weapons show, they just kind of remembered me. And Steve and his wife were having a baby. And I got a phone call one day from Steve, and he said, hey, man, what would you think? You know, I'm going to have this baby. I want to come off the road for a little bit. What would you think about going on tour with the Dolls? And I said, that's totally one of my dreams. I'll see you there. And I learned 35 songs in like a week. Showed up, had one rehearsal. David Johansen said, it sounds great. And we got on a plane and flew to Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Running with nowhere to run. Florida man, you gave us Allman Brothers. And Elizabeth Cook and a crazy family.
I asked Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying one time. I said, man, how do I be a good songwriter? Like, you know, I said, I'm, you know, you write my favorite songs. Like, how do I do what you to do that? And he just said, man, you know, tell the truth. Said if you grew up, you know, in a house, you know, in the 70s with, you know, weird shag carpeting on, and, you know, and everything was orange or whatever, said, I want to hear about that. Make that interesting for me, you know, share something that's real. I really tried hard on In the Blazes to, you know, have everything that I was writing come from, you know, some sort of experience or some sort of thing that I could really relate to, because I wanted to be up on stage singing it every night and not having to like try to get myself into performing it. You know, I just wanted to be able to perform it, because all like all that stuff actually happened to me.
In this town don't have a clue. There is white as the collar.